Blog Talk Radio.
Turn around, choose life. Consider right from wrong. You may not have that long. Such a great peace inside. A very present help when trouble's everywhere. Just a small
welcome to another episode of the Healthy Explosion Show. I'm your host, Martina DeGoot, and joining me is Kimberly Britt, my co-host. Good morning, Kimberly. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I am just fabulous. Thank you very much. Today, we are going to have, oh my God, an awesome show. I just cannot believe what has happened since we were last on, when was it, Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Some rather extraordinary discovery about carbon monoxide, because I happen to actually have been a victim of carbon monoxide poisoning. And so I just want to, we really want to share this information and just let people be aware of the dangers of carbon monoxide poisoning, because it's something that we take for granted. You know, we know that it exists, but we don't think it could happen to us. And so we really want to get in and really, you know, talk about it, inform you what to look for, the dangers, and so forth. Just to give you a little bit of information about the show, Healthy Explosion Show is all about holistic health and the factors that affect relationships, career, physical activity, and spiritual health. Some of the questions our expert guests, co-hosts, Kimberly and I will answer are, how does belief affect your health? They say belief kills and belief cures. Do you agree? How does your lifestyle impact the state of your health? What are the steps we need to take to move from disease to wellness? We'll delve into subjects as obesity, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, depression, hormones, skin, water, environmental dangers, which we're going to cover today, and much more. Please be advised that the topics discussed on this show is not intended as a substitute for regular medical care. So always, always, always consult your physician or healthcare provider before changing your diet or exercise routine. Now, today it's Kimberly and I, because I think we have so much information to share, and I know it's going to be a blessing to you. For those who may be tuning in for the first time to the show, just want to share a little bit about my background, and I'm going to have Kimberly share a little bit about her background and why it is that we are so passionate about what it is that we do. Now, I am a board-certified nutrition and wellness practitioner with over 10 years' experience in the health and wellness field. I'm also an author, lecturer, trainer, coach, and even an organic chef. My background include nursing education. I also have solid foundations in biology, human anatomy, and digestive health. And I'm also the founder of the Healthy Explosion Understanding Your Body program. And along with that, I'm certified in research and also have a very extensive business background. Now I'm going to have Kimberly share with you a little bit about her background. Kimberly?
Sure. I'm kind of just starting out on my professional nutritionist journey. I'm actually just pursuing my master's in nutrition currently, but I've been with the show since January, so kind of building my resume in terms of reaching out within the holistic community and just building lots of resources and connections in that field. I'll probably be finished with my degree in the next 2 years here, and then I look to maybe create or work with a nonprofit in relation to nonprofit nutritional education and holistic health. So it's kind of where I'm at.
And this is awesome. Now, just share how we connected. Just share with how we connected, because I know that was, I always believe in divine connections, and I know this was.
Yeah, it really happened just coincidentally, and it kind of worked out. It was meant to be. I just recently moved to the Atlanta area from New York, where I'm from, and did kind of an internet search for who was doing what in the area in relation to holistic health and nutrition, and came across your website, kind of gave you a call, and it just so happened that you were looking for somebody with my credentials at the exact same time. And
and
a partnership was born.
That's awesome, and that's, as I said, that was a divine connection. Now, interesting enough, when you mentioned nonprofit, because I also am the founder of a nonprofit who also focuses on health and wellness as well, so it's like you've hit the jackpot here. Nowhere to go but just up. Okay. All right, back to the show. I just want to let you know that we are both Kimberly and I, we are very passionate about holistic health and wellness, and we are just so delighted about being able to bring you great information on topics, and also bring in awesome guests on the show who are experts in various areas to really enlighten and inform and educate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to share with you discoveries and what has happened to me in the last, the last few days.
Yep.
It's interesting, and I'm just going to jump right in here because it's really unreal. Just around the first of the year, I started feeling as though I was maybe catching something. You know, it's the start of the flu season, and you could keep hearing over the news, get your shots, which that's not something that I would do. But anyhow, I noticed I started developing flu-like symptoms, and this was maybe sometime in January. And so I said, okay, well, maybe, you know, something is trying to attack my body. So I did what I normally do to get rid of it. It never resulted in full-blown flu symptoms, but as a result of that, I noticed that my sinuses started bothering me. So I said, okay, maybe I'm getting a sinus infection. Now, if I was someone that didn't really take care of their body, then I would, you know, probably wouldn't be as a concern. But I eat very well. I practice good nutritional health and well-being. So anything that interferes with my body, I'm usually very, very concerned. But those symptoms, you know, with the sinus and so forth, continued. And I worked on it, and it's subsided a bit. And I think, Kimberly, when I met you, my nose was a little runny back in January as well. And I was just feeling a little lethargic, but I was still thinking that this was the effect maybe of, you know, the flu or whatever it was that was trying to attack me. And so I was working on it from that perspective. But one of the things that I noticed during the night was that I had like a little difficulty, you know, like maybe catching my breath at times. And so I would check my oxygen level. And it was normal, like 99, 98, which is ideal. That means I was getting enough oxygen. And so I said, okay, well, that's fine. But then also I noticed that I would wake up in the mornings and my mouth was extremely dry all of a sudden. Now, this happened within the last, couple of weeks. It just like came up all of a sudden. And it was so dry that sometimes it was difficult for me to, you know, just open my mouth. It was as though my tongue was stuck to the roof of my mouth. And I'm like, what is going on? I drink enough water. I drink alkaline water. What is going on? And so what really got me worried was when I looked in the mirror, and it's as though I'd aged 10 years. My skin, I noticed, was so dry. My face was so dry, it hurt. And, you know, we're in the Atlanta area. We have some cool temperatures, but nothing to cause that to happen. And so, you know, this continued. And then we happened to call in the, what is it, the heating and air conditioning professional to service, you know, the system. We normally do it at just around springtime, but we decided to do it a little earlier. My God, that was so scary. No sooner than the gentleman came in, he went up and he was testing because, you know, our furnace is above, actually it's above my bedroom. I'm directly under the furnace. And so this meter started going off. And I'm like, what is that? What's going on? And he said that you've got carbon monoxide levels of registering about 34 ppm. And I'm like, oh, my God. But what was so interesting was that we have a carbon monoxide monitor. But the thing is, a lot of monitors that you buy, they only register high levels. And low-level carbon monoxide could actually be slowly poisoning you, and you would never know. So this was so shocking. He turned off the system, and of course we had to replace the system, the entire heating system. But the thing is this occurred on Wednesday. This was done. My skin has rebound. My sense of smell had disappeared, and my skin, you know, is looking much better, and I feel great. So I just wanted to lay a foundation why we wanted to do this show and how important it is to really understand what carbon monoxide is, what it can do to the body, and how even the most experienced person can be fooled. Oh, my gosh. Kimberly, jump right in.
I mean, I was totally shocked when I heard what you had told me, because it's something that, you know, it makes sense, and it can happen to anyone, like you said, even an expert in health and holistic health, because carbon monoxide is an odorless, you know, you can't see it, you really cannot detect it with your human senses, and you had a carbon monoxide detector in your home, so
yes.
It's not something that you, or I think most people, you know, would readily think of, and, you know, I just think, you know, thank God that you happen to have your system checked even sooner than you would have, because it was clearly affecting your health.
Yes. And it was like a slow death. And what is so scary about carbon monoxide, that it is a silent killer. It's odorless. It's tasteless. And you don't know it's present.
Right.
And it mimics so many different symptoms. That is the scary part. Because now... Some of the symptoms that will result from being in an area where there's carbon monoxide levels that are higher than normal, headaches, disorientation, depression, loss of hearing, respiratory failure, dizziness, loss of consciousness, weakness, muscle aches and soreness, blurry vision, painful discomfort, memory disorder, nausea, cardiac arrest, rapid heartbeat, seizures, vomiting, as well as a coma. Now, the coma and the seizure, those are the extreme levels where you're exposed to a large amount. But low-level carbon monoxide can actually cause these symptoms. Another thing I think I forgot to mention was I was feeling very lethargic and even having a bit of a brain fog. And so I was thinking that, okay, maybe my Atlas was, you know, offline. And that's another show, but the Atlas, if it's offline, it will cause you to really feel foggy. But we don't want to get into that now, because that will be for another show. But this is really, oh my God, it's scary, and the health effects can vary due to age, sex, weight, and overall state of health. It's scary. Wow. For another thing is that people that have migraine headaches, you know, and especially it causes like a frontal headache as well. And what carbon monoxide does in the body is just, it's unbelievable, you know. Now, we need, I mean, carbon monoxide, we need that. The plants give off carbon monoxide. But we need oxygen. And, you know, the levels that really, the safe levels would be 0.5 to 0.1. I mean, to one. And so we were, I think our levels was like 35. Now, 34, 35. Now, at 34, 35, according to, I think this is, let's see, who is it? According to the studies, at 30 to 35, it says here that levels, okay, 35, this is where fire professionals would actually put on a mask,
right?
You know, and begin evacuation. So in the home, we were at 34 and probably would climb, but it would never have been able to tell until it probably reached maybe 50 or above. At that point, we could have had serious, serious complications. Oh, boy. Sorry, I'm just, you know, this is
still fresh in your mind. Yeah.
It's very fresh, so I'm very passionate. So you're going to have to jump in here.
Sure.
Kimberly, and just give, you know, talk about it.
I kind of want to discuss the scientific aspect of it a little bit about what it actually does in your body. Essentially, we have all these cells in our body, and they want to, you know, particularly red blood cells, they want to bond with oxygen. That's what happens when we're breathing. We're inhaling oxygen, right? So our cells can bind to it, and the oxygen can then be carried throughout our bodies to our tissues. But what happens when you're inhaling large amounts of carbon monoxide, it has the potential to bond with your red blood cells 200 times more than oxygen does. So it's obvious that it's going to crowd out all the oxygen in your system. And when you have a deprivation of oxygen, your body, you know, really can wreak havoc on your system and just constantly stress it out. And that's the reason for the symptoms that you mentioned, Martina, which range from anything from like a common cold to irritability, and it's just impossible almost to detect if it would be this kind of poisoning or maybe just a flu or something, especially this time of year, like you had mentioned.
Yes, no doubt. And, you know, something that's interesting is that the Consumer Product Safety Commission state that each year in America, more than 150 people die from accidental non-fire-related carbon monoxide poisoning.
Wow.
You know, associated with consumer products. And it said that these products include faulty, improperly used, or incorrectly vented fuel burning, such as furnace, stoves, water heaters, and the fireplace. And what is really interesting is, you know, a lot of times people will use their stove, their gas stove, to actually warm the home.
They will,
and
and
that actually gives off carbon monoxide gas, which can cause you to really be poisoned that way. So
Right. Things
that we don't, you know, we don't think about, it, of course, you know, you know that carbon monoxide is dangerous. I think the average person knows that. We just don't know how much harm it could cause, unknowingly, you know. So this is really, you know, it's really something that we need to really pay attention to. And another thing that was mentioned is that carbon monoxide poisoning spikes in December to January, which are the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just think about it for a moment. And I really started thinking about this. Now, I am, you know, I'm a health and wellness professional, so I understand about the body. I understand about my body. I know how it functions. And I was fooled into thinking that maybe I was just picking up something, you know, in the atmosphere. Imagine someone that doesn't really understand. And I don't think maybe healthcare, you know, professionals on the whole really understand unless they've studied in this area. And I think this is something that we really need to educate on everyone, from the youngest child to the oldest person, because as long as we're living, we are at risk of being poisoned by carbon monoxide. You know, well, typically people know that if you pull your car into the garage and leave it running, it carbon monoxide builds up from the exhaust, and you could actually kill yourself in no time at all. So extreme cases, I think people are aware of. But I don't think, you know, the average person is aware of, you know, the seriousness of, you know, even being mildly affected or, you know, by carbon monoxide. And it can actually cause brain damage long term. And what I was really surprised about is that it also can spike your blood sugar. You know,
right? That's crazy. Exactly.
Yeah, it spikes your blood sugar. You know, and it can also, of course, the brain damage, but also in many different areas. You know, research that I've done since the last few days, I found where it affects. You know, it's a coronary heart. So here it is, someone that's suffering from these types of symptoms go into the emergency room, and I don't think they test for carbon monoxide because it starts in the home. And sometimes even if you're affected by carbon monoxide and you leave and you get the oxygen, it will start to, you know, really, if unless it's very severe, oxygen is the best way of really starting to revive yourself, is to get fresh air, to get oxygen. So if you're not aware of this, especially if you have a monitor in your home, I have to keep stressing this because we all need to have a carbon monoxide monitor, but we need one that picks up low levels. Again, because the carbon monoxide monitor was functioning in the house, but the levels were lower, and we were not able to detect that it was carbon monoxide.
Yep.
Now, precautions that they say one should take would be have, for instance, with your fireplace, furnace, water heaters, wood stove, coal stove, space heaters, portable heaters, they say that those should be inspected, as well as your chimney, inspected by a professional each year. That's very, very important. I think at least maybe twice per year, once in the winter month and once in the summer month, because it's not just your furnace, but anything that can give off carbon monoxide gas. And you should open the damper for proper ventilation before using a fireplace. Never use your oven or stovetop to heat your home. The carbon monoxide gas might kill people and pets. When purchasing new eating and cooking equipment, select products that are tested and labeled by a recognized testing laboratory. So that's something very, very important to look for. And you should also make sure all fuel-burning vented equipment is vented to the outside to avoid CO2 poisoning. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the venting for exhaust clear and unblocked.
Right.
And as they also said, if you need to warm a vehicle, remove it from the garage immediately after starting it. Never run your vehicle or other fuel engine or motor indoors, even if the garage doors are open. Make sure the exhaust pipe of a running vehicle is not blocked with snow, ice, or other materials, because the gas may kill, you know, may kill you. So, but again, these are all things that people are not aware of. And another thing that I was reading in a research is that they don't really have a true number of the number of people that actually are affected by carbon monoxide poisoning because of the way that it mimics other symptoms. Mm-hmm. So you would never think it's CO or carbon monoxide. You may think, okay, I have the flu. So you go to the emergency room and they're treating you for the flu. So now I have a question to ask. And I sound very passionate this morning because this is, you know, this is very important. What about all the people with various flu symptoms? Were they really flu symptoms or could it have been the effect of CO2? Poisoning.
Exactly. And what about all the people with all these underlying symptoms that they may have, and they think it's just a worsening of their symptoms when really it's CO2 making it worse? If you have obesity or you're generally lethargic, you maybe won't detect a CO2 poisoning because you think it's just, oh, I've always been this way. You know, you and me are blessed and that we're pretty in tune with our bodies and we try to stay healthy, but not everyone is like that.
True. True.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and this is why, you know, we really wanted to do this show, because we need people to understand. We're probably going to do maybe one or two more shows. We're going to bring in some experts who have dealt with people with carbon monoxide poisoning to really, you know, talk about the effects, the long-term effects, and what can really happen and how we can avoid this, what to do. I think we also want to, you know, talk about once you've been in affected by carbon monoxide poisoning, how can you rebound? You know, how can you heal yourself? Now, actually, carbon monoxide deprives the body of oxygen. Mm-hmm. So immediately what I started to do, of course, detoxing is very important, but I eat foods that cause natural detoxing. But what I have to do is drink more green drinks. You know, I'm not talking about the ones you buy, but, you know, like maybe kale and making a kale smoothie, drinking it. Also, I'm drinking a lot more alkaline water, you know. Oh, another thing that I detected during all of this is that the pH level in my urine actually dropped. That means my blood pH had actually dropped into an acidic point. So,
that
you know,
sense.
I was, which is serious, you know, because when your blood pH is lower than 7.5, which should be, when it's lower than 7, because at 7 it's neutral. So when it's lower than 7, then you're going into an acidic state. And so this is what was really causing me to panic. And this was all symptoms that I detected prior to finding out that this was actually carbon monoxide. So what I've been doing, again, is, you know, eat plenty of green vegetables, you know, raw, and just really detoxing my system naturally. And now my pH, and it's only been a short 3 days, but my pH levels are back up. So we really have to, you know, just pay very close attention to, you know, the effects of carbon monoxide in our environment. And they also recommend, the professionals that came in recommended that we have a carbon monoxide monitor definitely outside of where we're actually, you know, sleeping. So if your bedrooms are upstairs, then you want to make sure that you have a carbon monoxide monitor where it can be detected, and definitely close to the furnace, because if the furnace is giving off CO2, then you want to make sure that you're aware of that and it's going to sound an alarm. And again, make sure that you get a CO monitor that detects low levels, because the average monitor will only pick up at the level that they continue would be serious. But you want to know what your levels are so that you can, you know, make the appropriate changes that you need to make earlier rather than later. You know, but this could have really been, you know, just a oh, my God. another thing is,
mm-hmm.
Okay, carbon monoxide poisoning, long-term symptoms and effect. Now, I just want to share some of this with you. And this is all research material that I've gathered. They said the underlying reason for long-term symptoms and effects from carbon monoxide poisoning is damage at the cellular level, which you mentioned earlier, Kimberly. You know, because our cells need oxygen, and it says here some cells are more sensitive to oxygen deprivation and toxicity, which is a characteristic of CO poisoning. So basically, when you're taking in more carbon monoxide, your oxygen level is decreasing, and instead of oxygen being the main you could say gas, because oxygen is a gas, in your system, CO now becomes the main gas. And as a result of that, okay, the brain, the heart, nervous system, endocrine system, organs, and cells can all be affected, either directly or indirectly. Now, carbon monoxide poisoning affects people in different ways. Some people are at higher risk of suffering from an ongoing long-term effects. They also mention that people or that seniors, like over, this is especially those over 80 years old that live alone. You know, even if they're not living alone, that are not aware. Because the thing is that it's a silent killer, so you're not aware that you know you're being affected by it.
Right.
Which is really scary.
Very
scary. It really is. So this is something that we really, really need to pay very, very close attention to, and make sure. First of all, if you're having symptoms, any of the symptoms that we mentioned earlier, if you start a headache that won't go away, migraine headache. You know, nausea, flu-like,
yeah.
You know, flu-like symptoms, anything that you would term to be, okay, well, maybe I hurt myself, or maybe I'm just coming down, maybe I'm tired, so my joints are aching. Make sure you check to your CO levels in your environment. It may not even be in your home. It may be at work. And they do have the portable ones that you can carry with you. And, you know, I think, Kimberly, I think I'm going to get one of those portable ones. It would be if there was one that you could wear like a watch, you know, in, on your wrist. And so wherever you are, it would automatically show the oxygen level and the CO level. I don't know if someone, if there is such a device, but that would be awesome. So any of you inventors out there, right? That would be awesome, because portable ones, sure, you can carry them around, but it would be awesome to have one that you can actually wear like a watch and on your wrist, and that would detect, you know, carbon monoxide as well as oxygen. So you can always be aware of your environment any moment of the day.
I think that would be important for people that are considered high risk, and even though we're all at risk for carbon monoxide poisoning, certainly everyone, there are people, I think it's worth mentioning, that are at higher risk, and we consider those people infants, the elderly, and anyone under general respiratory distress. So that would be somebody with emphysema. You know, if you're a smoker, that's just going to add to it, because from smoking, you're inhaling a certain amount of carbon monoxide from that as well.
True.
Yeah, so being aware of if you fall into that risk factor category or one of your family members does, you know, certainly want to make sure that you are listening to this information and taking it seriously.
Yes, most definitely. You know, so again, that's just so, so, so important. Now, there's another research here that I found, as I said to you. I've been doing a lot of research that they were saying that the statistics on carbon monoxide are wrong, and the reason they said because symptoms from carbon monoxide poisoning mimic a huge range of common health problems.
Mm-hmm.
This misleads survivors and health professionals, and almost always leading to wrong diagnosis, which is what I mentioned earlier, which is key. And it says, even though someone may have been exposed to carbon monoxide and experienced symptoms typically typical of poisoning, the overwhelming majority of mild to mid-level poisoning do not end up in doctor's office or emergency rooms, which is true in my case because I did not have to, you know, to go to a doctor's office or emergency room. Therefore, are never identified, diagnosed, or accounted for in the statistics. So, you know, again, we really don't have a true number on the number of people that are actually affected,
mm-hmm.
you know, yearly by carbon monoxide poisoning. So that is, you know, that's just, it's alarming. It really is. And again, we wanted to bring this to your attention. I've also placed on the website, healthyexplosionshow.com's website, it's about a maybe a 3.5 minute video that actually talks about carbon monoxide poisoning. So if you want to get a little more information, and you know, because some people they really like to see the visual, do visit the website. That's healthyexplosionshow.com, and just click on the link that says media, and you would actually be able to watch the video. Kimberly.
Yes.
Anything you'd like to add?
I think it's important mentioning what you said, like it's more prevalent in the wintertime, but that also it can happen any time of year. I know, you know, in the fall and spring in my hometown, if there's ever a power outage, we're constantly being told, you know, don't bring your grills inside, don't heat your house with your, you know, your burner, your oven, et cetera, because of the potential for CO poisoning. I remember just hearing in my parents' neighborhood in New York in the fall when Hurricane Sandy hit, there was a, you know, a great increase in CO2 poisoning because people were not understanding that they could not bring their grills inside to cook if it was, you know, unpleasant outdoors, or that they couldn't heat their houses with their ovens. And it's just amazing that in this day and age, with so much information available on the internet and with so much information available, I think, on a lot of fire safety tips, that CO2 kind of gets, maybe it falls by the wayside a little bit and it gets underscored. And I think it's important to spread this education on it. It's so much more likely than we would think.
That's true. That's so true. And, you know, even, you know, there are advocates that are always talking about we have to cut down on pollution, because pollution just floods the atmosphere with carbon monoxide. Mm-hmm. Imagine, you know, the fumes and the exhaust from vehicles. And, you know, in the winter months when you're driving, you can actually see, you know, especially if it's cold, you could see the exhaust.
Uh-huh.
And I know you're from the north, and you know, I lived in the north for quite a while. So, you know, that when it's people, you go out to warm up your car, and
yep.
the snow is actually blocked the back.
Yep.
You know, you just had enough space to come in, or maybe it snowed overnight, and so your car is you know, blocked, and you try to remove as much as you can, and just enough to get inside and turn it on, and you expect that it would actually, help to defrost and get you out of there. Well, the thing is that if there's snow blocking the exhaust, it's going to back up into the car, so you could
mm-hmm.
actually, you know, poison yourself and die right there. And I know there have been stories in the news, maybe not recently, but I've also read about it in the research, where they've actually found people who have, you know, died from accidental poisoning of carbon monoxide just trying
right.
to, you know, defrost their car in the morning. So,
right.
you know, there's so many things that we need to be aware of. And this is not to scare you. It's just to make you aware. We're not. That's not the intent. It's not to scare you at all, please.
Right.
We want to let you know just what the effects of carbon monoxide are, and actually what to look for, you know, in your environment. And if you're conscious about your environment, you know, it's just like you wouldn't come in and leave your door unlocked and go to bed. I mean, wide open and go to bed. I'm sure years ago we could do that. But just for safety measures, you're going to make sure all your doors and windows are locked. Right, Kim? So, you know, it's only fair then to say that, you know, this is just, if we just include this as a part of our, you know, day-to-day routine, just to check to make sure that the CO monitor is working properly, the same as we do when we lock our doors and windows at night before going to bed.
Yeah, and it's the same that knowledge is power, you know. If you know all these things and you know the prevention measures, then you're probably going to be okay. So,
yeah.
I think.
And now carbon monoxide poisoning, this is, and I just want to read this to you. If, let's say, you suspect that you may have carbon monoxide poisoning, well, it said the first thing to do is get fresh air immediately. Open doors and windows, turn off combustion appliances, and leave the building, and then call 911. In other words, don't stay indoors and call 911. Get out of the building. If it's your car, get out of the car, as long as it's not driving. Well, you know, make sure you stop the vehicle and get out of the vehicle, and call 911. I'm sorry, 911. Do a head count to make sure people and pets are out of the building. Go to an emergency room and let them know you suspect carbon monoxide poisoning. Specifically ask to have a carbon monoxide blood test. If you don't ask, they will not give it to you. So this is also very, very important. But again, I think if we're doing the due diligence in terms of you know, making sure that, you know, your home is properly ventilated, that you have a CO detector in place, that it's functioning, and that it's able to detect low levels of carbon monoxide and not wait until you're at 50 ppm, and then it may be too late, you know, or some serious injury may already occurred. So you want to really make sure that, you know, you're doing what's in. I am just so, you know, passionate about this morning because, number one, I am so thankful. Oh, thank God. You know, that, oh, gosh. Whew. This could have been really serious, you know, not just for me, but, you know, my family members as well. So,
right.
You know, this is also very, very important. Wow. Gosh. Whew. Sorry, I'm just still, you know, just really still just thinking about how close this, you know, this whole thing was. Another thing as well, they said, carbon monoxide levels can rise when a clothes dryer, I didn't mention that before, clothes dryer, bathroom fan, can you imagine? Kitchen exhaust fan or built-in vacuum system is switched on. They all take air out of the building and contribute to creating negative air pressure within the building. Wow.
Wow. I didn't know that.
About that. Yeah. You know, says carbon monoxide levels can rise when a home is renovated and a second dryer, bathroom fan, or kitchen exhaust fan is added.
That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah, it is. And it says levels of carbon monoxide can rise when a wood-burning fireplace is lit. Well, that one, you know, pretty much, you know, average person would know. Winds can change air pressure outside a building. And that makes sense because let's say it's very windy. All of a sudden, it becomes very windy, and you have a wood burning fireplace, and the carbon monoxide is going up the chimney, and then there's a high pressure wind, that gust of wind that just, well, what's going to happen? It's going to force the air back down. You know, which could cause really, you know, oh my God. Whew, scary.
Which I think that underlines the point of having a really good detector in your home, because you may be sure that everything in your house is working properly one day, and then the next day, like you said, it could be windy or something else could be going on, and you wouldn't know if something changed. So having that low-level detector is just going to be your best friend in this situation.
Most definitely. And it also says here that CO levels can rise on a cold winter day, as exhaust gases cool, as they struggle to rise up an improperly or uninsulated chimney or vent, which is the same thing that I was just saying. And it says the level of carbon monoxide can rise if a fresh air intake into a home or building is partially or fully blocked. And that's another thing. You know, sometimes, you know, we have the leaves falling, depending on where and how your home is situated. So the chimney, and this is why it's good to have someone go up and clean your gutters and, you know, make sure there's nothing blocking the chimney. And I know there's an opening. Sometimes it could actually be stuck, which, you know, we're not climbing up on a ladder checking the chimney. So these are all things that we need to be aware of. And, you know,
certainly,
with the busy lives that we live, sometimes, you know, it goes undetected. Weeks go by, months go by, and then, voila, we have a problem. And it also says that, you know, CO level can rise if a chimney becomes partially blocked, a dead bird, bird's nest, insects, small animals such as a cat or raccoon, construction, etc. Again, you know, so you never know. Everything, it may not be the wind, but there may be a dead bird, you know, that's blocking or
something totally out of your control. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's really important to make sure that we are, you know, aware of all of this. And the sad thing is that, you know, these are things, to be honest, you know, you may think about it at some point, but it's not in the forefront of one's mind, because when I had those symptoms, I didn't think maybe it was carbon monoxide gas. My first thought was, oh, I must be getting, you know, coming down with something.
Right.
Oh, my sinuses. So we start treating those things. And then what happens? We're taking unnecessary drugs.
Right.
for treating something
we don't have. Yeah.
Right. For something that all we need is fresh air. We need oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's amazing. It's just amazing. And I, I just cannot stress enough, just please be very, 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 very careful. Now, I know, Kimberly, you also were doing research. Is there anything that you came up on that maybe I have missed?
Well, we've covered a lot of ground, and I think some of the most important points we've made, that just it's really something you can't detect. I think some people think they'll be able to smell, you know, or sense it in some way if they're having, you know, an increase in CO2 in their homes. But really, it's something that you cannot detect on your own. You need a third-party detector that's going to be able to show you the parts per million you have in your atmosphere, and you can determine whether, you know, you need to seek a professional to come examine what's going on in your home. It's, you know, I just can't emphasize enough that it's not something we should be able to, we can resolve on our own. We do need the help of detectors and monitors and professionals.
And professionals, definitely. You know, and I definitely thank the service that came in to take care of our problem and detect it. Well, didn't know we had a problem until they actually found it. Oh my gosh. But it's very, very important. Very, very important. We are going to probably going to, not next week, but probably the week after, going to have a couple of, you know, experts, doctors, who actually, you know, specialize in treating people with who have suffered from carbon monoxide poisoning. And so we'll have another show on carbon monoxide where we have some more people that can actually give us, examples of what occurs from the provider, standpoint. I am giving you my testimony based on the symptoms and what happened with me, but it'd be great to get, just information from, those who are working in this area that specialize in this area, because I think if we make that a part of a regular, testing, more health professionals, if you go to emergency room and you're complaining of any of these symptoms that we mentioned earlier, such as, flu-like symptoms, well, first, before even going to the emergency room, unless it's really severe, do the basic, do the due diligence. Check to make sure that, you don't have any CO gas leaking that could actually be contributing to what's going on with you. Number one, the sooner you find out what the problem is the better in the long run, because there'd be less damage to your system and less costs, number one, in terms of health care, and just your body will be able to rebound rather quickly. So overall, I think that would truly be the best thing to do. And I tell you, from this day forward, I know for myself and my family, we are going to put this at the forefront of, what we do on a regular basis. Make sure that everything is functioning. Make sure that the CO levels are normal. Well, we are going to replace the CO detector that we have, because we don't need one that detects 50 or above. We need one that detects it from 1 ppm, which is parts per million. That's what we need to be able to determine that there is something in the environment that's creating CO2, gas leakage.
Mm-hmm.
We're winding down. I want to mention that this program was developed to provide information. We are an information provider. We are a holistic health providers. We want to make sure that you're getting educated on things that you wouldn't normally find, are here everywhere. If there's something that you need to know about holistic health, we're going to find it and bring it to you. Now, we are now being sponsored by Miracle Productions Ministry, which is a nonprofit organization. And in order to keep bringing you this awesome information and really expand what we're doing, we are asking that you, if at all possible, make a donation, a small donation. And on our website, we have included a donate button on the top of the website. So from any page on healthyexplosionshow.com's website, you could go there. There's a donate button, and it will just click and make a small donation if you're at all able to do so. It will be much appreciated, and it would help us to be able to really expand our programming. And we do thank you for that in advance. Kimberly, is there anything else you'd like to share? We're winding down here.
We are, yeah. I'm so happy with today's show, because I think that it's something, like we've been saying, it's not so popular within the holistic field. It's not something that everybody talks about, but, we're going there. And, this is a labor of our, of our love and our hearts, that we want to educate people on these types of issues. And in order to keep doing so, we need community support, because this is really for the community, This is for everyone's benefit. Visit our website and look around at our pages and just read about us. And if you feel you connect with us in any way, feel free to shoot us an email. Tell us about yourself. Maybe you have an idea for a show, or maybe you're somebody who thinks that they could even contribute as a guest on our show. And like Martina said, donations as well. You know, that's how we keep being able to do, you know, what we're doing here.
And well said, Kimberly. Thanks. And to add to that, oh, one other thing before I just wanted to mention. People that actually have fatal outcome from carbon monoxide poisoning, they said how a coroner can just easily tell whether or not the person died from carbon monoxide poisoning is by the coloring of the skin. It's a reddish, pinkish color. That's what carbon monoxide gas does once you're poisoned to that limit. And I actually read something in my research, and I was really floored, that carbon monoxide is sometimes used to colorize meat to give it that red coloring. And that's all
incredible.
I'm going to say.
It's in more than you think.
So now, if you're, hello, so, you know, unless you're getting grass-fed meat, you know, you got to be careful what you're buying.
Yep.
And I think, you know, as a whole, consumers need to demand more, demand better quality meats. Demand better quality foods. You know, it's supply and demand. If there's a demand, then there, you know, farmers and food producers and manufacturers,
right,
they are going to try to accommodate the needs of the consumer.
Right.
And so I think we need to be more proactive about the quality of our foods, rather than sitting back and going in the store and because it may be a little inexpensive, just buying it.
we exercise our right to vote for healthier foods by what we buy in the grocery store.
Yes.
Every time you go into the grocery store and you buy something organic or something grass-fed or something that's holistic and natural in its production, you're voting in a small way. You're taking a stand against those other foods that you didn't purchase. And I think manufacturers take note of that.
Yes, they do. Have you noticed the shift now where, you know, it? Years ago I had difficulty unless I went to Whole Foods or, you know, some of the other health food stores finding organics. Now I notice you find it in Walmart. You're finding them popping up all over. Again, because people are demanding this. So, you know, it shouldn't be where we're saying organic foods are expensive. They're coming down in prices. And the reason is because supply and demand.
Right.
You know? And so we need to really exercise our right to get quality foods by getting the word out, you know. Don't buy the foods just because they're there, because you're just making yourself sick. And, you know, our health is our wealth. So we really want to start by educating. This program is all about education. We're going to educate you. We are going to, as I said, if there's something that you need to know about holistic health, what it has to do with career, physical health, or spiritual, we are going to educate you on that. Holistic means everything, nothing missing. So we are focusing on the entire person. And we are just about at the end of our show. I would like to thank you very much for joining us today for this episode of the Healthy Explosion Show. You probably heard a lot of passion coming forth from us, especially from me, because I am just so thankful to be alive. Thank God. You know, because it could have been serious. I'm thankful my family, you know, we are fine. But I believe that every tragedy, and this wasn't, it was, you know, a terrible thing that happened, but thank God it didn't turn into something serious. We are rebounding, feeling 80% better in the last few days. And I know that you know, everything is going to be fine. So I'm thankful for that. And I want to use this as a platform, this information as a platform to be able to really get the word out about this, because I was, again, just really, 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 really surprised. So thank you for joining Kimberly and myself on the Healthy Explosion Show, and you have a wonderful, wonderful week. We're just about out of time. We will see you again next week at 10 a.m. Until then, have a blessed week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.